Good morning. Are you glad to be here?
Absolutely.
So today we'll be talking about Jesus walking on the water, man. And you know what? A picture's worth a thousand words, isn't it? But before we get to that, I want to recap a little bit about what we saw last week, because it's important, because these things happen back to back. And then what we talked about last week was, we remember what Jesus said when they didn't have any food, and there was multitudes, probably 10, 15, 20,000 people. And Jesus looks at his disciples and said, "You give them something to eat." But the Bible says that he also said that he said this to test them, because he already knew what he was going to do. And what we looked at last week was they didn't pass the test. They didn't pass. None of them passed the test. I want you to understand this going forward. Even in this Jesus walking on water, it's a test. It's a test. You know your struggle you just came out of was a test. You know the one you're in the middle of right now? It's a test. You know the one that's coming next week? Oh, Pastor, is there one coming next week? It's a test. It's a test. And through those tests, we are being sanctified.
Amen.
Amen. We're being made stronger. We're getting more strength, more mature, more faith. And that's what this story in the Bible will do for you today, if you just follow me along as I explain it to you, or read it to you, really. I want to go back a little bit, because I want you guys to understand what happened after Jesus fed the 5,000. So in John chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, it says this: after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, what was the sign? Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 15 to 20,000 people. Is that a miracle?
Yes.
They began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew on a mountainside by himself. So these people, they begin to see Jesus for who he was, and that is the prophet that Moses spoke about. But Moses spoke about that prophet back in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, and that was 1,500 years before Jesus stands right here, right now. Now, the thing is, was he the prophet Moses spoke about? Yes, he was the prophet Moses spoke about. Make no mistake about it. The problem here is they seen him from the wrong perspective. Are you following me? Follow me, because they've seen him from the wrong perspective. Their understanding of this prophet, they had it all wrong. Why did they want to make him king by force? Because he wanted them to lead them to against Rome to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. But that's not what Jesus came to do, was it? What did he come to do? Let me repeat the words of John the Baptist. "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." So they want to make him king, but they want to make him king for all the wrong reasons. So what does Jesus do? He withdraws to a mountainside, and what he's doing is praying, and I'll prove that to you beyond any doubt that that's what he was doing. But he was not seduced by the crowd who wanted to make him king. He wasn't seduced into the applause of the crowd. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to be with his Father. He wanted to be alone with his Father. To Jesus, the prospect of an earthly kingdom didn't radiate with him at all. I want you to think about that. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, when the enemy, devil, took him up to the highest mountain and said, "I'll give you all these kingdoms. All you got to do is what? Bow down and worship me." He said, "Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, only him shall they serve." So this, he's already had the opportunity to be king of all these kingdoms. I want you to know he's not interested in that. He never has been interested in that. That's why he so decisively rejects it. Okay? And here's another reason why. Because Jesus is already king. I want you to think about it. They want to make him king of the worldly things, but Jesus is not just a king. What is he? King of kings. Amen? Yes. All right, so Jesus, who was a king, the King of Kings. He came to open up His kingdom, did He not? To mankind. But I want you to see something here. In their blindness, what I mean by that is, them only seeing Jesus for what benefited them, and them wanting to make Him king to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans, right? They try to make Him king, but in their blindness, not only did they not get the king they wanted, but they also lost out on the kingdom that He offered. Why? Because they got Jesus wrong. And that's what happens when you get Jesus wrong. I want you to know that. I want you to see that. Please see that. They think He's a prophet. They want to make Him king by force. Jesus takes off. He's already a king. But what He was offering them was an entrance into His kingdom. But because they didn't see Jesus for who He really was, they got neither His kingdom nor the king they wanted. It was a lose-lose. Amen? All right, so I want to show you a picture, because the picture is worth 1,000 words. This is powerful. I mean, can you hear the waves? Can you hear the wind howling? And Jesus is going to walk on water. We'll see about that. So, let's read John chapter 6, verses 16 through 24. When evening came, everybody knows it's evening, right? His disciples went down to the lake where they got into the boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. But now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew up. Everybody say storm. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on water. And they were what?
Frightened,
scared. But He said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take Him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. That's a miracle in itself, is it not? Right? But here's what I want you to know about this story in John. John gives us the least amount of details about this story of Jesus walking on water. And you say, "Pastor, why?" I'll tell you why. I tell you it every week. John has a singular focus in writing the book of John. And that singular focus is in Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you may have life in His name. So you say, well, what is the main focus of the story? There is one main focus. Don't miss the main focus as we go around the edges and see what else we can learn. The main thing is, and that John wants his readers to see, is what? Jesus walked on water. Another piece of evidence to prove, yes, He was the Messiah. Yes, He was the Son of God. And only in Him can you be saved. So that's why John doesn't give us a lot of details of the story. He gives us the core of the story, though. And that is your Savior and my Savior walked on water. I mean, that is so awesome. My Savior walked on water. Can yours? All right. Why would John only give us that core? Listen, because everything that he needs to prove his point to the book he's writing is in there. And what it is Jesus is not subject to the laws of nature.
Amen.
Right? Because He is the creator of the law of nature. So they are what? Subject to Him. But listen, if you ever want to get the whole story, then you've got to do what? You got to read the whole story. So, if you want the whole story of Jesus walking on water, then you got to read the story in Mark chapter 6, and you got to read the story in Matthew chapter 14, because that's the only way you're going to get the whole story. Who read ahead? Who read the other stories? Oh, yeah! Hallelujah! Then you know where I'm going, right? Listen, if you're reading through a gospel, And you got footnotes. Everybody's got footnotes in their Bible these days, right? And if you look down there, it says it's in two other Gospels or one other Gospel. You got to go read that too. If you want to have the whole truth, then you got to have the whole story. It's not about how much you read. It's about how much do you understand and how much can you make applicable to your life. Amen. With that being said, let's read the whole story because we're going to read from Mark and we're also going to read from Matthew because Mark and Matthew both tell us some things that John does not. Important things as well. All right, you ready? Mark 6, 45 through 52. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Now, right here, we learn something new, don't we? That Jesus made his disciples get into the boat because John didn't tell us that. And go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. Well, wait a minute, because John said Capernaum. But if you look at a map and you look where Capernaum and Bethsaida are, they're both in the same exact direction. Okay? While he dismissed the crowd. He dismissed the crowd. You follow me? He tried to make him king, but John didn't say he dismissed the crowd, but here he dismissed the crowd. All right. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Man, you ever felt like that? You're trying to get ahead. You're trying to do what you need to do. And it just seems like the more you row, the more ground you lose. Right? Sometimes it just seems like everything is against you. Everything is blowing against you. And that's exactly what is going on right here as we read that. Verse 48. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, wait a minute. Because when we read John, it was when evening came. But now it's just before dawn. Do you realize they have been rowing for 6, 7, 8 hours? That puts a whole new twist on it, my friends. Continuing to just row and row and not get nowhere. Dang, I've been there. I've been there. All right. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. I find that very humorous. He's about to just walk right on by them. Right? Right? Is that not what the Bible says? Dude, Jesus, what's up? He was about to walk on by, but you know what they did? They cried out. They cried out to him. Listen. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. Not only did the wind die down when he climbed into the boat, but remember what John told us, they immediately came to their destination. They were completely amazed. Listen to this. For they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. It's amazing because here in this next story, it actually tells us why they failed the test in the story we just read. Come on. And now here it is, going to play another part in their life in the next story. Are you following me? If you don't learn the lesson in the last trial, how are you going to learn it in the next one? Or the next one? Or the next one? All right, let's read Matthew chapter 14, 22 through 27. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to himself to pray. That sounds just like the rest of them. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. I like that, buffeted by the waves, because I've been in a boat on a windy day, and you can be swamped. for sure. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. You know what? James, Mark, and Matthew all agree on one thing. They were terrified. Right? It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." That's what he said in all three of them, right? Right? So Jesus tells his people, tells his disciples, to get into the boat and set out for on the Sea of Galilee and set out for Capernaum or set out for Bethsaida. Am I right? Wait a minute. Did Jesus know there was a storm coming? Well, wait a minute. You mean Jesus told his disciples to get into that boat and head across the lake knowing? You know what that means? Jesus sent his disciples into the storm. Come on. Another test. Another test, because you can't convince me Jesus didn't know there was a storm coming. Absolutely believe. And I want you to remember something. It's dark. It's dark. And a lot of people say, well, why would these disciples get in the boat and want to row across this lake in the darkness? Let me remind you why. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were fishermen. They had fished this lake in the dark many times. That's why they weren't afraid to go and get in the boat and start rowing. What they didn't know was the storm was coming. That's what they didn't know. But they would have been comfortable rowing around on this Sea of Galilee and would have known where to go because they've been on it so many times before. Amen? So it's dark, right? And the wind's blowing and the water's become rough and the water, the Bible says, buffeted against the boat. That means they're really just ravaging the boat. Now, if you remember what John said, it says they rowed out 3 to 4 miles. Am I right? So they're rowing out 3 to 4 miles and then the storm comes up, or perhaps the storm already came up, and now they're not getting anywhere. Anybody ever done that? Just row in circles, it seems like? But here's what I want to point about that, because that verse, Mark 6:48, right here, listen. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now, wait a minute. We already know they had rowed out 3 to 4 miles. I want you to know something. To the Weatherford Center down here, the square is about a mile. So add 2 or 3 to that. Can you see that far? But Jesus could see that far. Through the storm, he could see that far. You know what that tells us? Listen, no matter how dark you think it is, no matter how the storm is raging, Jesus never takes his eyes off of you. Do you see that in there? This is what the Bible is telling us. We know that they were out in the middle of the lake. We know that they have rowed for 3 to 4 miles. But Jesus said his eyes were upon them as they struggled with the oars. I can't see 3 miles. I can't see the back there. But it's amazing that Jesus could see them. Absolutely amazing that he could see them. Amen? All right. So the disciples are caught in the storm. They've been rowing. And Jesus comes to them walking on water. And the first initial reaction is what? They're terrified. They're terrified of Jesus. Now, why are they terrified? Because they're looking from a human perspective. Right? And what they see defies all logic. What they see defies all reason. And that's why they think he's a ghost. That can't be real because people can't walk on water. You follow me? So what does that tell me? That tells me they were not seeing Jesus from a spiritual perspective, but they were seeing him through the eyes of the flesh. And I want you to know something. That will make all the difference in your life. How you see Jesus. Whether you see him through your fleshly eyes or you see him through the eyes of the Spirit. Going to make a huge difference in your life. Amen? And some of those decisions are life and death. Yeah, life and death. All right. Jesus, though, he's unmoved by the storm, isn't he? And he walks towards him. And here's what I love, man, is he's walking towards him. Where's the storm? It's under his feet. He is walking on the storm. Walking on the waves that are buffeting the boat. He is on top of the storm. And here's something else, man. It's noisy. The wind is howling. But his voice cuts through all that. And he says, "It is I." What does he say? "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Can you put yourself in that position? Can you put yourself on that boat with the waves buffeting, the wind blowing, and here comes Jesus, and you don't know who it's him? You think he's a ghost, and he speaks up the way only Jesus can? Has he ever done that to you? I want you to notice something in this story. He was going to walk right on by him. But it's when they cried out. It's when they cried out. Do you understand? Jesus wants to help. But he needs an invitation. Amen. But when you invite him, things will change. Things will change. Man, what a beautiful story here. So I want you to know, these guys, these disciples, they've seen the water be changed into wine. They've seen Jesus heal the nobleman's son. They've seen him tell the invalid who had been paralyzed for what? 38 years. "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." They had just seen him take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed multitudes of people. But look at what Mark 6:52 says. And this explains to you why their reaction is on this lake. All right? "For they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened." They had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. They had not seen Jesus for who he was, or understood who he was. And because they didn't understand it, and it didn't make sense, their heart... Has God never done a miracle in your life? Amen? You better be thankful and be thanking him for that. And not only that, you can't thank him for it until you first realize that it was a miracle that God did in your life. And if you don't, your heart will be hardened. Amen? Just like these guys. I mean, they're the ones that took the bread from him and handed it out. Don't be too hard on them, though. Because we're the same way. We're the exact same way. So when we ask ourselves, and I always do, why did they not recognize Jesus? It ain't like he had changed his appearance, changed his clothes, right? Cut his hair. But here he comes walking to them on the water in the middle of a storm, and they don't recognize him. Why? So as I wrestled with that, I said, why? Oh, dang. They weren't looking for him. They weren't expecting him. Come on. If you ain't looking for Jesus, if you ain't expecting Jesus, you ain't going to recognize him when he comes. You know what's going to happen? He's going to walk right on by. Come on, man. Man, what a beautiful Beautiful, beautiful story. So what that tells me here, they were not operating in faith. Absolutely not. Because listen, when you're operating in faith, you know what Jesus looks like. You instantly know when Jesus shows up on the scene. Right? Yes. So instead, operating in fear is what they were doing. And listen, that's what a hardened heart does. Do you understand that? It produces fear. And that is how you operate, and I operate in fear. But here's what this story is telling us. Here's what it's telling us. Listen to it very closely. The point is this. Faith and fear cannot operate in the same heart. Fear actually blinds us to the presence of the Lord. Let me absolutely prove that to you. Because they were operating in fear and not in faith is the reason they didn't recognize who Jesus was. You follow me? Man, this can help you change your life. But when you're operating in faith, you know what Jesus looks like. And you don't think he's a ghost showing up on the scene. In the midst of life's storm, what is our nature? What is our human nature? Oh, man, it's to be afraid. Am I right? We see the waves crashing around us, the wind howling, and sometimes we're sitting there and we're in this pity party. Come on! And we're thinking, man, how am I going to get through this? Right? But if we look to this story of Jesus walking on water, listen to me, we can approach these things from a different mindset and from a different perspective. You hear me? Because Jesus is trying to teach them something here. And he's trying to teach us something here too. Right? And the main thing he's trying to teach us is, of course, first of all, he can walk on water. But secondly, in the midst of a storm, he sent you there and you don't have to be afraid. Can I say that again? He sent you there. So when you find yourself there, know this. He sent you there. Come on. Boy, if you know that, then faith, then it's going to be a lot easier to operate in faith instead of fear. Amen. But if you go into the storm and you can start operating in fear, listen to me, you will not recognize Jesus when he shows up. But if you're operating in faith, you will. That's what this story tells us. It's important of our mindset and how we see things. Amen? All right. So, Jesus didn't just tell his disciples not to be afraid. He showed them why they didn't need to be afraid. He demonstrated his power. He demonstrated his authority over the storm. He demonstrated that with his ability to walk on water, totally and absolutely unfazed by everything that was going on around them. You follow me, right? I doubt he even got wet. This part of the story, it's a powerful reminder of the strength that we have in Christ. And in this part of the story that we just read, when you consider the whole story, man, what Jesus is saying here is, look, I'm going to send you in the storm. And I want you to operate in faith in that storm, because when you operate with faith in that storm, you'll know I'm right beside you. But if I'm going to send you into that storm and you're going to operate in fear, then you're not going to recognize me. Come on. That's what he's trying to tell us in this story. You can't operate in both, my friends. You just can't. All right, if you read ahead, we're going to go to another part of this story, but it's only recorded in Matthew. Anybody know what that is? Only recorded in Matthew. But if you want the whole truth, you got to have the whole story. Am I right? Matthew 14, if you're turning there. So far we have Jesus making his disciples get into the boat, knowing there's a storm coming. Hey, go. I'm sending you into a storm. They didn't know that, but he knew that. They're out there. They're in the middle. Man, they've been rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and not really getting anywhere. And we're talking rowing for hours upon hours upon hours. And here comes Jesus walking on the water, and they are all terrified. And two of the Gospels tells us they thought he was a ghost. But they do figure out who he is, because he says, "Do not be afraid," or "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." So right there after that happens, Peter does something. Peter does something pretty amazing, to be honest with you. And that's where we'll pick up the story. "Lord, if it's you," Lord, if it's you, if, yes, Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. That's it, right? Jesus says, "come." Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Can you picture that in your mind? The storm is still raging, my friends. It's still raging because the wind and the sea and all that doesn't calm down until Jesus gets in the boat. So this is amazing. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Please see the difference right here. See the difference between faith and fear. You see it? If you're looking for a sign, here's your sign. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Ye of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And we know that when he climbed into the boat, what else happened? They automatically came to the other side. So for a moment, I want you to notice, for a moment, Peter experiences the calming peace of Jesus Christ, even right in the midst of the storm. Despite the raging sea, the howling wind, and everything going around all around him, Peter steps over the side of the boat onto the wave. Not into, am I right? Yep. But onto the waves. But how could he do this? Let me show you why. As Peter's standing there, and Jesus says, "Come. If that is you, Lord, bid me to come." Jesus says, "Come." I want you to see this, because right now, Peter is laser focused, eye to eye, looking at his Savior. As he steps over that boat, he is focused on Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? Then the Bible says what? He took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking around at the circumstances, looking around at the situations, looking around at the waves. Again, he began to hear the wind. Do you understand? And then what happened? Oh! He began to sink. But listen, I want you to see something. Peter stepped out, and he stepped on that water. And he created a feat that is we can't do. But he could do it when he was focused on Jesus. You follow me? There's no way a natural man should be able to walk on water. But you can do miraculous things when your eyes are fixed on Jesus. Amen. You can. And you know, when I read this story, I said, "Lord, you are so right. Man, I'm a gung-ho dude. God gives me something to do, I'm out of it. I'm on my way. I'm going to get her done, right?" Then I start, squirrel! Right? Then I begin to sink. So what do I got to do? Lord! Lord! But what did it say? When he said, "Lord," when he began to sink, he said, "Lord, save me." What did Jesus do? Immediately he reached out his hand. What is that? Listen, would it be fair for me to tell you this morning the hand is always there? What is he waiting for? The hand is always there. You're his child. He gave his life for you. You don't think he's going to pull you up and not allow you to drown in that storm that he sent you into? Amen. Please don't miss that. He sent them there. And he sent them there for a reason. Am I right? All right. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, and it says this: "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter," some verses say finisher, but the author and finisher of our faith. Fix your eyes. That's the key to your and my success in the Christian life, is with our eyes fixed and focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And listen, it is true. This story is so true, the way it lays it out in such simple terms. Peter was operating in faith, and he focused on Jesus, stepped out of the boat, began to let fear take over, looking around, and he began to sink. It's simple. You can't operate in both. Choose which one you want to operate in. I recommend you operate in faith. Man, it's so much better, right? All right, when we look at this portion of the story, here's what else I want you to see. We see a man, we see Peter, who was willing to step out of the safety of the boat, to step outside of his comfort zone. Am I right? And he's willing to do that as long as he has. Remember what Jesus said? What did he say? Come. That's it. Is Jesus calling you out of your comfort zone? Because if he is, he's just saying, come. God, some of you have been in your comfort zone so long, you think it's a normal way of living. But it's not, man. To serve Jesus is to live on the edge. Amen. I just want you to know, you're living on the edge. Amen? He says, come. Get out of that comfort zone, right? I can't do it, Pastor. I can't do it. The wind is blowing too much and the waves are too high. I can't get out of my comfort zone. Come. Come. I want you to know something. When you finally do step out of that boat or that comfort zone, there's more joy and peace on this side than there is where we think we're comfortable and safe. Amen. Peter did something there's no way you could accomplish. Except he walked with Jesus. Am I right? Has God ever called you to do something and you agreed? Oh, God, this ain't what I thought it was going to be. That's the way it's always going to be. That's the way it's always going to be. When you and God agree, listen to me. When God calls you and you say, here I am, send me, and you go, here's the key. Keep your eyes on Him. Amen. Keep your eyes on Him. Because listen, it's going to be tough. Because you can't do it on your own. You have to have Him by your side to accomplish what He has called you out of your comfort zone to accomplish. Amen? Amen? That's what this story tells us this morning. All right. Let's remember, too. Jesus was teaching Peter and us that, listen, we need to trust in Him. Because here's what He said. Listen, after Peter caught Jesus, He said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, a lot of people look at that and said, it's almost like Jesus is scolding Peter. I don't think He's scolding Peter at all, man. I think he is saying it's not a rebuke. But he is saying that with a compassionate, caring, loving way. Because I want you to put yourself in this picture. Peter's sinking, and he cries out to the Lord, save me. Jesus reaches out His hand, right, and pulls him in the boat, pulls him up. And he says, what do you think, He's going to scream at him right there? Oh, you idiot! What are you doing doubting? Where's your faith? Now, he might have said that in some other areas of the Bible. But right here, I don't believe He's saying that at all. I think He's looking right at Peter in the eye and He's saying, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Because he had the faith and he wasn't doubting. But when he lost the faith and replaced it with fear, he began to doubt and he began to sink. And that's the same thing that happens to you and me. Make no mistake about it. It's a spiritual principle. Man, God is good, right? Let's remember the storms in our life are not meant to break us. You know what they're meant to do? Bring you closer to your Savior. They're not meant to drown us. They're meant to cleanse us. Amen. Refine us in the refiner's fire, right? And they're not meant to scare us at all, right? They are meant to strengthen us. And remember this, in the midst of all the storms that Jesus sends you into, He is with you. He is always there with you. Keep your eyes focused on Him. And listen to me. When it gets a little hairy, and it will, yep. And it will, I want you to hear this. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Could you hear them words? Can you hear Jesus saying that in the midst of this storm? What beautiful words that would have been. Take courage. It is I. do not be afraid. And by the way, I sent you there into that storm. Amen. If you would, stand with me. I want to prove to you that Jesus and these disciples are in the process of sanctification. Wouldn't you agree with that? Are you being sanctified, Chris? You are. I am being sanctified. Yeah. By fire. Most of the time, by fire. I want to read to you the last verse. Matthew 14:33. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Come on. You say, Pastor, does that mean that that's it? They finally made it? No, no. No, no, no. But you know what? They got closer. And this is the first time the disciples said that to Jesus. That you are, surely you are the Son of God. So I want you to see something. He's bringing them along. As we go through the book of John, I want you to know he's bringing them along just the same way he's bringing you and I along. Test by test, trial by trial, circumstance by circumstance, we get stronger. Amen. Just like they do. You follow me? Man. So, Jesus sent them into that storm, right? And he did it with an absolute intended outcome. Did he get the intended outcome? Yes. Yes, he did. Because their faith grew a little bit more. And they were more faithful now than they were before. Not totally faithful, not by a long shot. But they were more faithful now than they were. So Jesus walks on water. That's the miracle, right? That the laws of nature are subject to him and he not subject to them. Jesus always has an eye on you. I love that. That they're 3 or 4 miles away, but it says he saw them. Rowing against the wind. He always has his eye on you. Don't ever think he don't have his eye on you. He does, man. Listen. Look around. And if you're operating in faith, you'll see him. But if you're operating in fear, you won't. You get that? Please get that. Leave here with that. Man. And fix your eyes on him. When he calls you out of that boat, man. And he will. You know what? A lot of you, listen to me right here. He has called you out of the boat, but you have not gotten out of the boat. He's saying, come. Oh, no, can't do it. I ain't got time. We talked about that last week. I ain't got time. I ain't got the money. I ain't got this. Get out of the boat. But when you do, if you do, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Fixed on Jesus. And you'll know when you've lost sight of Jesus. Why? Because you start to drown. Amen. And sometimes you'll start to drown and you'll think that you've lost sight of Jesus, but you really haven't. That's just part of the deal. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you for this story. This truth. Thank you, Lord, that you are my Savior and you can walk on water. Lord, I want to thank you for the storms that you've sent me into. I want to thank you for everything that I've learned in every storm you've sent me into, Lord. And I want to ask for forgiveness for the storms you sent me into that I didn't go into. Lord, I want to thank you that you always have your eye on me, no matter what. No matter how dark it is, how dark we think it is, no matter the circumstance of the situation. No matter how far away I think I am from you, you always have your eye on me. Thank you, Lord. And most of all this morning, Lord, I need your help to continually remind me to keep my eyes focused on you. Never, ever lose that focus. That's a tough one, Lord. I get it. Oh, it's so easy for me to get there sometimes, but it's so hard for me to stay. But I want to, Lord. And I think that's half the problem. We love you, Lord, this morning, however you're speaking to your people, Lord, as we open up this invitation. Maybe somebody is going to step out of that boat, that comfort zone, and do something you've called them to do, Lord. You've got a calling on everybody's life who can hear my voice. My prayer is they would listen. Be willing, Lord, to step into the storm. Lord, maybe somebody's going through a struggle right now and they feel like you ain't nowhere to be seen. Lord, I just challenge them right now to put away the fear and come to you in faith this morning. And they'll see just how close you are. Lord, we just love you this morning. We thank you for everything that you do. We turn this time over to you, Lord, and our hearts over to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray.